and welcome to Marooned at Magbite's headquarters. A day, drum roll, 70. That's 10 whole weeks, Mike. How did that happen? I swear it was only 3 weeks ago. But never mind, we're here now. We have a shiny new player to share. Yes, it actually says, Mike, live. See that? It says live, live flash. Blue, live flash. You're ignoring me, Mike. Can you see it or not?
Yes.
Yes, that might actually be helpful instead of toggling that big red one off, which is driving us both insane. Left it on last night. Hello, Kim. How are you doing? Let us know. We have sun too, but it's not been as warm today. And it did threaten a bit of rain earlier. I didn't see much of the morning because I didn't get to bed until the sun was coming up again. You got there first, didn't you?
Yes.
And Lola had my place. But I let Lola have my place because she's totally adorable. She's getting a bit angsty at the moment, though, isn't she? We compromised on the treat today, Kim. Hello, Anthony. Today she had a treat. And then she had the follow-up treat, which was the ones that she's a little bit fickle with. Anyway, she took it and she looked at it and then she fell asleep on top of it. And then she gave me the eyes. So we compromised. We didn't have a huge one. But we had this smaller thing. So she didn't want it. So I said, right, we'll compromise on a rodeo stick. So she had the rodeo stick and then she took one bite out of the other one and then left it there in disgust. But she's now marching around the house because Mike's been busy editing a couple of shows for Brooklands and she's not yet being out for her afternoon trot. So she's come in. And she's picked up the three quarters of the treat she'd left behind and she's marched out with it to eat it in complete disgust. But she is going out for a walk, isn't she, Mike?
Yes, sure.
When Mike sorted out all his Brooklands things, because he's doing the news. Hello, Jonathan. Love the new player. It's pretty. Excellent. Good. I've just got to remember to put the right number at the end of it or it'll make no sense at all. But weirdness has been going on with the player. What had happened yesterday when it unceremoniously disappeared was they had added in an extra variable that you needed to put into the string. Didn't bother telling anybody. So Mike sorted it all out, put it all in, and then it went again. He goes back to check he's got the right string to find they'd taken away the need to put the string in. So I said, Mike, just walk away. Let's just use that player and walk away. See, Jonathan prefers it. So there you go. We will keep that one. When we're live, we should have that blue live thing just above the word marooned. The logo we can't control, unfortunately. But when we are not live, when we are semi-live, when we are replaying, you will see the artwork that's in the file that's actually playing. So at the moment, we're playing old maroons and you will see the marooned logo and it will tell you which one we're actually playing, which is a huge improvement, isn't it? Rather than just sitting there thinking, not a clue what I'm hearing. So glad you like it, Jonathan. We've got to explain to the Brooklands people that they're going to have to press a different play button. So we're writing 15 tutorials for that. Right. Kiva's been naughty. Oh, dear. She ate your breakfast bagel. That's really strange. Neither of our Sammies have touched bread. They don't like it. Oh, naughty, naughty Kiva. CQ, Deb, CQ. Don't worry, you did get some breakfast. Oh, Kiva. You didn't eat Kiva's, did you? Lola was very good. Mike took... We were on show duty last night, so it was chaotic, as per usual. For 6 hours, we're marooned in here. More marooned than usual. And Mike had brought a tray up with... I think there was a little bun on it, wasn't there? And tea and stuff like that, and whatever Mike had. So he takes it outside... outside the office, and he puts it on the floor. Lola toddles up, has a look, doesn't touch a thing. Didn't touch a thing, the little angel. That's why I relented today with the treat that she didn't really want. Oh, bless her. So what was Kiva's punishment? Did you ignore her all day? My mum did that once with Maya. He couldn't handle it. He was such a friendly, outgoing dog. What had happened was, and you know what she was like with dogs, was not keen on dogs, but she adored Maya. He'd gone into the kitchen and she was in a cupboard. She'd got the cupboard door open and I think he wanted to play. And somehow he like reached out with his head as dogs do and he caught her hand on a tooth. He did not bite her. I think he just caught her hand. Well, she behaved like she would with a baby and she was like, no, I'm not talking to you today. I'm not talking to you today. She kept pushing him away like, you know, you will learn good behaviour. He never did it again. He did learn good behaviour, but I'm not sure I could actually do that. We've not had to give Lola a talking to about anything, have we? I did have to house train Maya, and that was agonising because I didn't want to say, like, don't do that, you're a naughty boy. It was tough. Lola's all right. Anthony says he's tried ignoring Barney. Managed a whole 4 minutes. Anthony, that's impressive. Thing with Maya was he wouldn't leave you be. I guess it really does work. It proves that ignoring dogs works. Because within 30 seconds, he sat on my lap and you know the size of a Samoyed. And I'm like, no, I'm not looking at you. No. Boy dogs are more in your face, I think, than girl dogs. Lola is quite laid back. But I was saying to Mike, she will not go to sleep unless she's nuzzled at my foot. And if she hasn't nuzzled at my foot enough, she sticks her head under the duvet and drags my foot out until she has had enough. And then she curls up and goes to sleep. It's so funny. She is absolutely adorable. So Kim did a bit of sulking, but all is well and we are not good again. She let me put her on her back and groom her belly. I think you are good, aren't you? Yeah, you are good again. I wonder if she'd do that again. Naughty, naughty keeper. Lola let us do that the other night. She was actually on her back. And I was like grooming her side. And she was nuzzling away nicely with Mike. She was just so, so sweet. Now, Maya couldn't groom him at all. You would have needed leg irons to groom him. Even my father, who was incredibly strong, no. He would fight him off. We should have known, actually, because when we went to pick him up, we went up to Glasgow, if you remember, Stone House in Glasgow. Okay. And his mum was there, his dog mother, as well as his kennel mummy and me, soon to be his real mummy. And his dog mummy, she was really molting. When Sammy's have given birth, basically all the fur falls out. So she was very, very patchy. And there was this grooming brush and she eyed this grooming brush and then she picked it up and she disappeared behind the TV with it. And she actually hid it behind the TV underneath the TV table. You'll probably hear Lola getting all excited about going out right about now. And I'm watching her and I'm thinking she obviously doesn't fancy being groomed. And the breeder came in and said, where'd she put that grooming brush? I said, it's under the TV. And she went, for crying out loud. You know, that's like the fifth time. And she just went round and hid it. So clearly grooming wasn't Maya's mother's thing either. And it certainly wasn't Maya's. But after she'd hidden the grooming brush, she wandered back over to the sofa and got herself all settled. And on the table next to the sofa, there was a cup of coffee. Now, we know I cannot abide coffee. I wasn't going near it. I guess it was actually quite cold by this stage. And she drank it. She drank at least half this cup of coffee. And I'm watching thinking, is this getting a dog thing a good idea? I thought, if the dog that we get drinks my mother's coffee, there will be trouble. But Maya never did. But his mother used to drink coffee. Crazy dog. We actually were very lucky. We met the entire family. There was Maya's mum. There was Maya's dad. There was also his great uncle Lucas. And as Maya got older, he turned into his great uncle Lucas. Just sitting there like looking at these puppies running around, the little upstarts. Oh, it was lovely to meet them all. It really was. You can hear barking. Lola's going out for her walk. It's been a delayed walk because we've been doing more audio than usual. Got into the swing of this thing. Oh, just imagine, Jonathan. 127. Just saying. No, we've not actually even contemplated 127 yet. But I did. No, was that yesterday? Yes, it was. Friday and yesterday, I was doing a music special on the Carpenters because all our Brooklands crew love the Carpenters. So I said, I'm going to put an hour's Carpenters show together. So I did that. That went out at 7 o'clock yesterday. Then we put it on at the end and it's going out again later. So I'd done that. And then we did the big show, the 5 hour show. Then it's Bank Holiday Monday tomorrow. Not even started. Oh, Jonathan. Well, the thing is, tomorrow it's the bank holiday here, isn't it? So, and we're on holiday. So I said, what we need is some real upbeat summertime music. You know, the kind of thing you hear on the beach in Ibiza, or I believe you do. Never been, never been. That's so not me. So not Mike either. So I pulled together like really upbeat summer sounding songs, and I'm in the middle of doing that for tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So that's got to take precedence, Jonathan. But we do have 2 weeks off. And you know what we're like? Well, for a start, we would probably have a staycation anyway. But let's be honest, no one's going anywhere anytime soon, irrespective of what Boris has got to say on Wednesday. So, yeah, 127 could be on the horizon at some point. Let's just say that. Well, you know what we should do, Jonathan, don't you? We could get 127 out much faster if we took your audio from Friday night and bung that in as a piece as well. That'd work. Thing is, you'd have heard it, but you might not remember what you said. So that might actually really seriously work. We'll give that some thought. I've been building a system for tracking the songs. Now, somebody, I think it could have been Tracy, who wanted to know how we put the radio show together. How does all of that happen with all of those songs coming in? Last night was chaotic. The first time we did it, it was one of these situations. You've probably been there with your software. Jonathan, that's an excellent point. If we hung on to it till September, you'd have forgotten every word. That'd work. question about Brooklands. Do you have to pay royalties to play each song? Sort of, yes. It's similar in a way to a standard radio station. Now, they have to report every single song they play. But as an internet radio station, you kind of aggregate it. So you need to provide information to the licensing authority, not about what songs you play. They're not interested in which songs you play, which is I find strange. But you have to say how many songs and you have to say how many listeners. So unlike a standard radio station, if we think we've got a local one called Key 103, they don't actually have to say how many listeners they've got, but I guess they wouldn't really know. If it's broadcasting to air rather than internet, they wouldn't know. Now, we do know. So we have to multiply the number of songs we play in an hour by the number of people listening, and then that gives you a figure, and that goes down for that hour. So the reporting aspect of it, I find a bit odd, but that's how they do it. And it goes into a central fund. You also need to be licensed by territory, which again is very, very strange. You think it would be far easier online if they just had one license, but you need licenses for Australia and New Zealand. You need another set of licenses for the UK and America. I think they're all in one. So that makes it a little bit easier. But you are supposed to be licensed for every territory that anybody listens from. So in the back end of the radio server, they will give you live stats and updating stats, and you need to download those statistics, run them through your spreadsheet, multiply by whatever, and then send it off. You get with the licenses, there are various levels of licensing. So I'm not quite sure which ones Mike went for. Mike sorted that out because we decided with Brooklands, you know, music was going to be a thing, but with MacBytes, less so. But if you want music shows on MacBytes, we could do that. We could do that. Let us know. Let us know if music's your thing. But at the moment, we put all the music on Brooklands. So he sorted that out. And the level of license, again, it depends on the number of plays and the number of listeners. So it's all based on that. But weirdly, because I thought like you, you'd have to put every song. And for something like Brooklands, that'd be a nightmare. But no, it goes into a central fund and then they send it out to whoever. So they have their own distribution method with it, which I guess is a little bit how Spotify works. Hello, we have new people. We have Paul. Hello, Paul. Hello, Simon. And hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you all doing? Loving the pictures of the house, Paul. Fabulous. We did move into a new house when I was nine, but we didn't get to see it built. It was like there was this whole probably a little estate of houses put together. And by the time we got there, they were actually finished. But it would have been lovely to see it come up from the ground. Oh, absolutely. So if you're willing to share, that would be amazing. I for one, would love to see that. I'm sure everybody else would as well. I love the pictures that you put up there. Interestingly, I was watching a YouTube video, and on this YouTube video, they were pointing out where a certain house was, and they had Google Maps up. So I went to the same place because this video was 2 years old. And the reason that I went to see it now was in the video, there was a house that they were pointing out, and next to it, there was obviously like a plot like you've got. And so there was a one complete, and it was a huge house. It had a tennis court in it. It had a pool in it. It was massive. And it was at the end of like a cul-de-sac. And the rest of it, there was no houses. There was like plots, but no houses. So I thought, I wonder what that looks like now. So I haired off up to Google Maps to have a look. And 2 years on, it had changed. There was houses built on the right-hand side of it. But these plots on the left-hand side, there was just still nothing. And I wondered, you know, how long over here, if there's houses being built together, they are all built. You don't just get like four empty plots and somebody may have bought them and then maybe they're building them later. Is that what happens in the States? Because 2 years later, there was nothing in these two plots. It looked quite strange. Over here, I swear, if there's an inch of space, somebody puts a house on it and fast as well. Wow. You need to do more with the pictures. What you posted was a quick put together. Did you do it manually, Paul, or did you use the panorama feature? I've had pretty good results with the panorama feature. The only bits where it's a little bit rough is around the edges where it is at the top or the bottom edge. But the patching in the middle where you're stitching them together across like a huge panorama, they've turned out really well. I was very impressed with that. Let me know. Need to know that. Yeah, the music royalties are quite strange. I was at the very beginning, I was saying to Mike, we'll need to build a solution to track the songs we play, but actually we don't need to. If we go over a certain number of listeners or plays, then we go up to the next licensing level. At the moment, we're fine with that. They are pretty generous with the licenses, but you do need to keep an eye on it. But with the system that we've built, I mean, we started and we did the first one, and it was a case of, it was the end of year party, if you recall, that we were supposed to be having at the local hotel. They've still got the deposit, don't ask. In fact, I think they've still got the full amount of money. So can you have your end of year party later? Well, not really, because the other guy's taken over, but we'll see what we can do with that. So we took it online and I said to Mike, it'll be fine. You know, we can go live. It'll be fine. Trust me. Poor Mike. 15 minutes in, I said, no way. No way can we do this for the next 5 hours. It was just chaotic. So I said, we need a system. So the playing of the songs isn't particularly difficult, but obviously while a song's playing, you've got to find the next one and then key that up. And the requests that are coming in aren't just, can you play X by Y? Even then you'd have three pieces of information to track. You'd have the song, the artist and who wanted it. But you also need to have who they want it for and why. So to track all of that information, well, the first night it was like, we've not thought this through, have we, Mike? No, we haven't. I said, it's all right, out of my way, hold my beer. I moved everything off my desk and I got my post-it notes out. And that was it, colour-coded post-it notes. And it ran the show. So after the show, and we decided we were going to do it again the following week. Well, actually, that night, Peter, now, if you were with us in the WhatsApp, you will have seen the video of Peter dancing to Smokey's Alice. Oh, he's amazing. He's in his 90s and he's on two sticks and he was dancing to, what's the song? Living Next Door to Alice by Smokey. He was amazing. He actually asked that we did it for Province. So the following week, it was like, we're going to need a system. And we did kind of have a system. We tried it in Notion and it didn't really work. So we had to rebuild the system in Notion anyway. We've decided for various reasons to put it in a spreadsheet. So if you wanted to see how we did all of that, that might be a good demo, because we deliberately decided not to put it in Notion. The main reason, I think, for not having it in Notion, Mike's doing a lot of the putting in. I'm doing a lot of the reading and using, but he's actually putting it in. and I need to see certain things about it at certain times. And he was saying it was difficult to move an entire request. So to take a row and put it somewhere else was difficult. And things were moving around for me as I'm looking at it. So he said, can I try it in a spreadsheet? And I said, fine. But spreadsheets aren't without their issues either. Because, again, you need to move things around. Because you get a request in and you say, yes, I'll play that. And then something else comes in and you think, no, I need to play that first. And you're basing it on who is there and when you know they're there. So if you've been with us any weeks, you'll have heard us play a song and we'll say, and we've got to play this now, you know, like after 9 o'clock, but before 10 o'clock, because he's going off to watch Match of the Day. Last night, we needed one between 9 o'clock and 9:30 because the person who put the request in had their family listening. So there is actually a lot of moving parts. And I was saying to Mike, it needs to basically dim out when we've done it. Because when we've done it, we don't care anymore. Now, what I did with the post-it notes was throw them in the bin. But it is actually quite handy to have a record of what you played 3 weeks ago. Because if somebody comes in and says, oh, I really like that song that you played, you're like, which song? That was 3 weeks ago. The show goes on for 5 hours and the average song number that we play is between 65 and 70. That's what you've got time for. So it is difficult to find some. And sometimes it's really nice when you know it's coming up to somebody's birthday and they've mentioned a song to you that's their absolute favourite 4 weeks ago. And you can go find the song and say, right, well, I'm going to play them that song because I know they like that song, which is how quite a lot of the stuff gets played. And we also have, of course, the challenge, which is when they come with something that they think I can't find, which comes into Paul's question. And we have nominations for the worst song. We've already got three of those in for next week. And we're doing a new thing called Tony's Trio, which is we have somebody with us. He's actually a member of Mike's Cadenian Circle, but he doesn't live locally. And all of the events in the circle are local. He's still a member, but he actually moved, and he moved probably about 30, 40 miles away. Which I know in American terms is nothing. But over here, people won't travel that far at night for a meeting. They might go like 5 miles and that's about it if you're lucky. But within a 5 mile radius of here, there's two other circles. So they are really very, very tight in terms of geography. But because this has been online, he's joined us every single week. And he always comes up with some fantastic challenges for me to find. But he was reading in the Times that somebody was doing a thing and the guy thought it was brilliant, which is three songs that mean something to you, either in a sequence or individually. And you've got to tell the story behind it. So if you want to be with us next week after Marooned, and you put in your request for three songs. There you go. Jonathan put a great one in. We loved that. It was D-Ream, wasn't it? Things Can Only Get Better, which was 1997. I remember that with the election. And it's so funny. You were eight. You were eight when that happened, Jonathan. That's just scary. Right. So Paul did the pictures manually. Oh, would you like a demo of how the panorama works? How to get the best out of it? Am I playing from my library or music from an online source? Oh, believe you me, it would have to be an online source. There is no way that I've got access to all that people ask for. We have requests for songs from the 30s. Sometimes even the online DJ systems can't handle. You know, it's just not there. One that's been an absolute classic has been a song called, and I'm not kidding you, Who Put Sugar in My Tea? By the Hartlepool United First Team 11. Now, I have no idea what year that was, but it must have been a long time ago. And I cannot find an online library that have got that. And it's the one outstanding challenge. And I cannot let this go. So every now and then I'm like, I'll just go and have another look. And I go off and I try searching somewhere else. And Stuart, who requested it, this was probably about 4 weeks ago, he's nominated it for worst, challenge. He's nominated it for the challenge. He said, any movement on that? Because at some point, you know, we're going to have to declare victory. So, you know, like me and Jonathan, like that. So far, it's zero to the listeners. And I cannot let this go. So that's my task this week. I've got to find Who Put Sugar in My Tea by the Hartlepool United First 11 from 1970-something. I did actually find one, and it says videos on YouTube. When you go to it, it's a private video, so you can't actually play it. Muskrat Love. Okay, Kim, I'm going to get that one. I have not heard that one myself, but I have been, do you know, when I go into some of these things and they say, you know, you listen to this, would you like to listen to this? I'm like, no, because of the stuff that I've put in. I'm glad you enjoyed the show, Jonathan. We had a ball last night. Oh, it was fun. After you mentioned Panorama, I went to and found it, did a quick Panorama. Wow, tips on the future would be great. Okay, I will put that down. Post-it notes at the ready. I remember doing one, I think I had about 8 photos. And I thought, this will never work. And I did it and was like, whoa, that is brilliant. But it's things like filling in corners and stuff like that. But yeah, I can do that. So let me put down Affinity Photo Panoramas. It's not obvious where that is either, is it? Panorama. There we go. Right. Captain and Tennille. Oh my, that was one, was it? Right, okay, I can find that. Let me go get it. I shall put that in. That I've built the system today. Mike's in his little spreadsheet. Oh, I wonder if he's listening while he's out. I beat you, didn't I, Mike? Oh, it was Mike 0, Elaine 1. It was to do with Mike's a whiz with Excel, but Google Sheets, no, works a totally different way. So we were trying to get some conditional formatting sorted. Black art, I can assure you, completely black art. And I've managed to do it. But obviously, it would have been better if it had been last night while I was in deep in the middle of it. Oh, maybe if Mike gets up at it, he'll ring in. Oh, actually, if he did that, that would be a major calamity because I haven't muted my speakers. So let me mute my speakers and then we can sort that. Am I muted? No, I'm not. Am I now? I think I am now. Awesome. Then, of course, need my headphones, don't I? Which are all tangled up, but there they are. Just in case Mike decides to... We'll see if he's listening or not. Right, I'm putting in Captain and Tennille. Or I was. Where am I going? Go on. There you go. I think Mike's... No. He's put it in. Excellent. I was going to say, I think Mike's jinxed it from afar, but apparently not. No, it's great fun, but, you know, it can be quite stressful. So you need a system so you can actually enjoy it yourself as well. But yeah, it was good last night, and it's quite important last night. I don't know if you hung around, Jonathan, but later on, I can't remember what time, there was a request, and I think it was from Lisa, and she'd sent it to me privately. And what was so funny, we've got the WhatsApp chat. We've got a private chat between me and Kath, another one between me and Lisa, another one between me and Kaz. Then obviously there's what's going on between Mike and I, and we've got the chat on the website. And Peter, the guy that was doing the dancing, he phones in, he rings Mike. He rings Mike's mobile and puts requests in. So we're taking requests from like 6 different places. But this request came in from Lisa, and she wanted a song called Conga from Gloria Estefan, I think. And it was to remind them of a holiday they'd had because they'd lost a cousin this week. And Kaz is the one who does our, she was the one who delivered the cake. She baked and delivered the cake, and she does the jingles. And she was really close to the lady who died, and she'd been bereft all week. She's also struggling that she's not at work. And her mum pinged me later and said, thank you. She smiled tonight, which is what it's all about. That made my night, no matter how difficult it was and how many post-it notes I had on the desk, it didn't matter. Kaz had smiled and she said she was really concerned because with the person being in California, it's going to be a Zoom funeral, and they've already done a Zoom funeral. This isn't the first family member that they've lost during this. So it's a tough, tough time. But yeah, I got this message through privately, and you know what I'm like. I mean, the phone rang the other night and I shoved it in a drawer. It's been there ever since. There is such a thing as too much communication. But I'm looking and I'm getting like a ping, ping, ping. And I'm thinking, which one do I go for? Because I'm trying to put the music in the system. I'm trying to tell Mike about the music. I'm trying to do the segues between the songs and play the songs. But I did actually manage to catch this message, and I thought, that's it. That's made my night, that. And they actually sent a video as well. If you were with us in the WhatsApp, you'll have seen the video of Kaz. There she is singing happily away to a song that her and Mike have taken to their heart at the moment, which is Come On You Reds. And it's the Manchester United Now, was it 90? It's 90-something cup final squad. And it's actually the music. It was United and Status Quo. So it was one of the really good football songs, not one of the rather ropey ones. It was the Status Quo song, Burning Bridges. So it's got a great beat to it. And they list off the names of the players. So I think it's like Giggs, Keane and Cantona, Kanchelskis, something and Ince. So they rattle through the entire team. Well, Mike said, leave the mic open, I'm going to sing. This is not good news. If you have heard Mike sing, this is not good news. But he did. And at the other end, we'd got Kaz doing her bit and her mum filmed her. And there she is, all wrapped up in a blanket and her night clothes, singing, bopping away. And I said to Mike when I watched the video, Kath's right, she smiled, which was fantastic. So, yeah, it was a really good night. I'm going to put that song in. I'm going to listen to that later. But that's your nomination. So I've got a worst song thing here. Yeah, if you want to see the spreadsheet, I can show you the spreadsheet on an after hours. But I've actually got request stroke comments field. And in it, it says worst song. And there's a little icon next to it, an emoji. And it's the smiling pile of poo. So now I can eyeball which is which. Hello, Paul. How's Sydney this morning? Could you work out all the moors? Are they related? They are. Yes. There is Joe and Kath, who are mum and dad. Joe was actually president of the Catinians when Mike joined. He had to wait until, I think he's supposed to wait 3 months. But I think it was two in his case. So it was June 2016 and Joe was actually president. But it was quite tricky in terms of when he joined and us getting to know Joe and the family, because it's a bit of a standing joke and it's not actually funny. It's terrible. But from about 2012, anybody who became president instantly got ill. You'd think it was not a stressful job, but it can be. One of them had a heart attack. And then, you know, we talk about Mike, the other Mike, Rachel's other dad. He got to the end of his presidential year and had a heart attack. And it's like, please stop happening. Anyway, then somebody took over who was a figurehead and they had no problems because it was literally somebody else is doing the work and I'll just say I'm president. So he was fine. But the year after that, Joe took over and he'd been president for 3 weeks. And I don't know what happened in terms of how he found out he needed this, but at some point something must have happened. He ended up in hospital and they told him, and he'd never had anything wrong with him before, they told him he needed a quadruple heart bypass. And this was totally out of the blue. So when Mike joined, Joe was only 3 weeks post-op. So we kind of left them with their family and stuff, and we didn't really get to know them probably for about towards the end of his year. But it was a great year. They had some great events on. And we got talking. And I got talking to Kath, that's his wife. Kaz lives at home with Elsa. Elsa's part of the Moore clan. Elsa's the cat. She's gorgeous. I've not met her yet. Obviously, now not a good time. They met Lola because we took Lola with us when we went away. So Carolyn and Lisa are their daughters. Carolyn lives at home with Elsa the cat. And Lisa has two kids of her own. So she actually had one of them up last night. He's only 10. And it was about 20 to 1. And the kid had got up because he wanted to hear the radio. He got a request the week before, so up he got. And now she's very safe. But unfortunately, because of where she is, she's in a position where she's not going to be able to see her mum and dad for over a year. She's not seen them since February when we all went on holiday together to Alverston. But she's on a military base and basically no one's going in and no one's going out. So the radio show on a Saturday night is like where they play songs for each other. And yeah, it's going to be a long time. So and then, of course, losing family members doesn't help, does it? But yes, that's the Moore clan. And they were the ones who arrived here. We socially distanced with a cake for me, gifts for me, cards for me on my birthday. What we did last year for Kath's birthday, was the 1st of July. And it was the day after our President's Sunday. Now, President's Sunday was the gig that we did at Hotel Football. So there were some photos I think we showed you in an after hours. The room we had was the top room. It's called the Heaven Suite. The roof opens, and luckily it was a good day, so we had the roof open. The floor of the entire suite is AstroTurf. And Mike said, can we have some balls and get the nets out? And the guy said, yeah, sure. So after the meal, we then had a game of football in the suite. It was fabulous. But I knew the next day was Kath's birthday. And Kaz has said to me, can you just say happy birthday to her? So I said, yeah, of course we will. So I said to Mike, as soon as she reminded me, I said, right, OK. And we ordered a cake. We ordered her a cake. I don't know if this is the same in the States. Let me know. Costco do cakes, and one of the cakes they do is like a football pitch. So I said to Mike, we'll get the football pitch one, but they're big United fans. I said, so I'll put shirts on it like a team, like icing ones with the United crest on. So Kaz was just thinking I was going to say a happy birthday to Kath for tomorrow. So I said, and we've got her birthday. And I got this cake out and they were completely overwhelmed. And it was so funny because the hotel were like, we were like, can we have a knife for the cake? We might have to do that, health and safety. But they did. They sorted out the cake. And we did a whole cake and flowers malarkey for her birthday. So hence her repaying and coming back to me and making my birthday incredibly special. So, yeah, we're very, very lucky with the friends that we've got. When we think we only moved back here full time in December, about November 2014. Which was, we started going back to church. We went to church to that church in the early 2000s. But it's amazing what difference the priest makes. Sometimes we went for months and months and we didn't know anybody. And then we went back this time and within 2 weeks, it's like, you're part of the community. It was wonderful. It makes a big difference, the kind of community that's there. I mean, we went to one church once near where Mike used to live when we very first got going out. We went to this church and there's a bit where you say, peace be with you, and you turn around and shake hands. And it was like, who are you? I thought, that's shocking. So we never went back there. We only went there once. But yeah, they've been incredibly welcoming. And obviously on the top of that came our friends at the Cadenians. So we are incredibly, incredibly lucky. And if you were there last night, you'll have heard what I said about, never mind these IRL. A lot of our friends say like, oh yeah, but they're not real friends. They're internet friends. No, 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 no. Our real life friends are our real life friends. And our online friends, yeah, they're our real friends too, which was what I said. And I played a song as well because I'd had a wonderful week. Everybody had been so kind. Costco cakes are a bit sugar heavy, are they? I don't know. I've never eaten one, obviously, because they're not gluten free. They do not make cakes that are gluten free. Right, let me catch up. February seems like lifetimes ago. Absolutely. Ellen, who is the lady who had the stroke and is now in a wheelchair, she'd not been out since Good Friday. But Stuart, that's her husband, took her out for a ride around Sale, and she met the superheroes. So they've obviously went past, I'm assuming they went past the superheroes rather than the superheroes going past them. I think that's going to depend on how fast the superheroes were going. But she had an absolute ball, so I played a song about that. Let me catch up here. So yeah, she'd not been out since Good Friday and I've not been out since the 6th of March. But I'm actually alarmingly all right with that. I've got into content creation mode. If I could just transfer that to 127, Jonathan, be amazing, wouldn't it? Just imagine. Who knows what might happen? If Jonathan... No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't give Jonathan ideas. Jonathan could do a challenge me, and if there's no show, then he gets a point. That'd work, wouldn't it, Jonathan? We'll see how that goes. Costco do cakes there. They're probably the same cakes, aren't they? We usually get the one with balloons on or flowers. But for this particular one, we did it. Actually, I showed you another one, didn't I? I think I did. For this one, we got the football pitch with the football pitch on. The next time we ordered one with the football pitch on, we didn't need the football pitch on it. The football pitch was going to come off it. All I needed was a cake with green icing. And it was for Ellen's birthday, which was on the 30th of November. And I was making her a cake. Let me see if I can find it. It must be there somewhere. Oh, I know where it should be, because I've literally just sorted these photos out, so I know exactly where it'll be. So I will find it and I will put it up there. But basically, I needed a cake that had green icing on it. And it was all to do with The carrot fiasco. When Ellen was in hospital, she was force-fed carrots morning, noon and night. It was literally all they wanted. If there was something that they were giving you, trust me, it was carrots. It didn't matter if it was breakfast, lunch or dinner. You were having carrots. Why have I got my... That's triage. I must have one that's... There we go. It'll be in that one. So, oh, no, that's ladies' social, not ladies' night. I'll get there yet. Ladies' night. There we go. It's one of these. So what I wanted to do was make a cake that had carrots on it. And I had this vision for what it should look like, obviously. And, oh, they're not mine. That's going to be tricky. I will find this. If it kills me, I will find it. I will just make those bigger. So I needed this green base. But the other thing was I couldn't afford any calamities. So with this thing, I said to Mike, I'm not going to order one cake. I'm going to order two. And he got there and they'd only done one cake. They must have thought it was a mistake that you'd ordered twice. And Mike said to them, you know, this order was for two. And she said, well, I'll make one. You know, I'll do one. But obviously there was a tight turnaround because we needed this cake and we put on the entire event. That's what you do when you're president. So he had to ring me and he said, I'm going to have to wait because they've only done one cake. I said, what? He said, they've only done one cake. So I said, well, what are they doing? So she said, he said to me, well, she's going to have to make it. So I said, well, what does it look like now? So he looked through the window and he said, she's putting the green icing on it. I said, whoa. I said, tell her not to put the football pitch on it. I said, just put the white round the edge. Forget the football pitch because I don't need it anyway. So he's knocking on the window and getting into trouble for going into the area. And we got one that didn't have the football pitch on. So I've got it. I'm going to send it up to Droppler. You'll probably remember it. But this was the cake that I wanted. And I made the cake. I put all of the icing on it, did all of the decoration on it. Hopefully that is the right way round. I'll post it straight in and you tell me if it's the right way round. Hopefully it is. And I presented it to her. Cake, cake, cake. There we go. I made that. So I got the cake from Costco, but the carrot and the little carrots and the fact that the carrot looks like it's been pulled out of the ground, I did all of that. I just wanted a starting point of a cake with a green base on it. Oh, you should have seen Ellen's face when she got hold of it. Was it a tiered cake? What's this one? No. Costco wedding cake. I didn't know they did wedding cakes. Wow. Not at all sure they do over here. Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Kim. Thank you. Like the idea. I'm sure you do, Jonathan. Why did she need to eat so many carrots? It wasn't that she particularly needed to eat the carrots, but apparently when you've had a stroke, they are incredibly careful with the movement of your jaw. So she wasn't allowed to eat anything like, imagine like a raw carrot that you had to bite. Whatever she ate, it had to put no pressure on the movement of her jaw. So everything was stewed and boiled. And they just had this fetish that, you know, and we've got carrots with that. So I think the idea is that carrots are quite healthy, maybe. But they put carrots with everything. So breakfast would arrive, you know, scrambled egg and carrot. So Ellen couldn't look at the carrot when she came out. So it's been a standing joke ever since. When it came to the end of their year, they'd been to Australia. It was like a once in a lifetime trip. Having said that, they're going again, supposedly, this year, end of the year. But it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and they were pictured with koalas and doing all of the Australian things. So when it came to the end of their year, we were putting a presentation together about how amazing their year had been. And I said to Mike, we've got to put the Australian stuff in. And there was this picture, and it was Ellen. She was in her chair, and she was swathed in waterproofs. Because although it was supposed to be the summer there, this particular day, the heavens opened. So we'd got that picture. And I said to Mike, you know, it's Australia. I said, I've got to get something Australia-ish for the gift. So I ordered two hats. You know, the Australian hats that have corks hanging off them? Got two of those. I got a blow-up kangaroo. And then we got some serious stuff like wine. But this hat for Ellen, instead of just leaving it with the corks hanging off it, I actually attached probably about 2.5 inches they were. I actually attached some fake carrots some like plastic carrots. So we gave her this gift. She couldn't get over it. I'm sure there's a picture somewhere of them with that. Let me see if I can find it. That one wouldn't be my one. That would be somewhere else. But it must be on there somewhere. So yeah, we did that. But the carrots, obviously, were a hat tip to when she came out of hospital. And it was like, please don't serve me carrots. So whenever we used to go out, obviously we're not going out now, but when we used to go out to all these meals that you've seen photos of, you look at the menu and it'd be like, oh, Ellen, with carrots. It's fantastic when you go somewhere and it's like, well, I'll have the soup and it's carrot and coriander. There's just no escape from carrots. I swear there isn't. Let's have a look. Oh, I'm going to have a look at that cake. $19 for a cake that serves 48. Wow. I'm not sure how much the usual ones are here, but let me have a look at that one. Oh, what better to share than pictures of cakes? I'm not at all sure we did. We do have those here, but that looks amazing. That is beautiful. I can't say I've ever seen one in store, let's say that. But that's gorgeous. I see where Jonathan's coming from. Let me see if I can get the place we went that do wedding cakes, which is Slattery's. Yeah, that's the way we go for the... yes, I know you're not open, but never mind that. Just show me your wedding cakes. It would give you an idea. So that one was two tiers, wasn't it? That one's probably the nearest. By comparison, it's probably got a little bit more cake in it, but even so, by comparison, I'm going to put in this link to a cake at Slattery's, which is the chocolate place we go. Yes, that one is £735, so probably around the $900 mark. And believe me, that's not the most expensive they do. I think they went up to nearly 2,000. So when you're planning a wedding here, like the cake is probably one of the biggest expenses. They do have an amazing, amazing array of cakes. The one I looked at was called the Ava, and I just love the roses on it. And they do the roses in red as well as white. I would have quite liked them in red. In fact, I actually had a cake that looked like that Ava cake for my graduation. And that's £1,550. It's scary. Something like that will probably take at least a day to make. Though these cakes, these 1,500, absolutely they would. Probably more than that. My mum used to go crazy that she could bake cakes like that and decorate them. She was amazing. But my gran would volunteer her services to people. And mum's like, have you any idea how long these things take? And obviously, no, my grandmother didn't. No, she didn't. But it does. It takes a long, long time. The cakes themselves, you know, you not only got to bake them, but they need to like proof for a while and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it is. I can understand where the cost comes from, but, you know, that doesn't particularly help you much. When you look at the price and, you know, you're adding that on to everything else that you need. I don't think we've actually got a picture, but what I've got is the presentation I did, but I will dig that picture out. You'd rather eat pie. I love the Ava. The Ava is particularly nice. I've got a photo. I had two cakes for my graduation party, and it was on the basis that my mum said, like, university. At the time in the UK, you didn't pay to go to university. Your tuition fees were paid for by the government and you got a maintenance grant. But the problem for me was I was going to a private college and the government didn't pay if it was for a private college. And I didn't get a maintenance grant either, because unless it was an approved education establishment, which it wasn't because it was private, you didn't get the maintenance grant. So I had a job and mum and dad had helped me out. And she said, we're not going to be able, you know, we cannot save up for a wedding. And I said, I wouldn't expect you to pay for a wedding. I think that's ridiculous. I think the couple who are getting married should pay for the wedding. I said, so, you know, don't give that a second thought. She said, but I want to give you a graduation party. So she said, you know, I've always wanted to do like your wedding cake. So I said, well, do the cake for the graduation. And she did. And she made two of the most amazing cakes I have ever seen. One of them was 2 foot square. And then it went up in tiers. And the other one was very similar to the Ava, only instead of the roses coming down the side, the roses were coming out of between each tier. And I think it had five tiers on it. But obviously, we're looking at 1992. And I only had like a point and press camera. There are photos of it somewhere, but I have not digitised them yet. But when I dig them out, I will share them. Oh, I think there was pictures of me and Mike dancing as well. And pictures of my graduation. Oh, the pictures of my graduation were a complete calamity. My graduation photo itself was fabulous. But I'd taken, you know, my own camera with me. And obviously, we lived in Manchester and we had to go back to London for the graduation. So it's a 400-odd mile round trip in a day because Mum and Dad were both working. So we went down there and it was at the South Bank something, on the South Bank of the Thames. Can't remember the name of it. It will come to me. And there were some beautiful views. So we took a lot of photographs, me in my mortarboard and gown, and all round the place. There was a fantastic art exhibition on. It was wonderful. And there we were. Come home, got the camera, takes the film in. And when it came back, they said there was a fault with the camera. There was not a fault with the camera. What they must have done was, as they were taking the film out of the little canister that a 36 exposure, what were they called? Gosh, that all, you know what I mean. The one on a spindle. As they were taking it out, they'd obviously damaged the film, and right across every photo, there was two purple lines. Mum was distraught. I said, Mum, it'll be fine. You know, eventually the software will enable me to fix that. So all of these pictures had these two lines on. So obviously at this stage, I got Photoshop. It's like Photoshop on, I had an Amiga actually, and I couldn't do much on that because I didn't have a scanner. But as soon as I got my PC, I said, right, I'm going to fix those photos. And she said, you're not going to be able to do anything with them. And Photoshop had this feature where it's a select option. So, you know, you have your select tools. You have your lasso tool, the marquee tool. Well, Photoshop had two selection tools dedicated to select a single row or column of pixels. And obviously, these two purple lines were just a single row of pixels. So I'm there with this selection tool and I get it across it. And because it's a single row of pixels that's giving you the problem, you could get rid of it. So press delete and that got rid of the purple. But obviously, that left like a transparent line. But you could then go up to the row above or the row below and copy it and just use that to fill in the gap. You could not see the difference. She cried. She was so happy. So that was one of my very, very, very first uses of Photoshop. But oh, did I have problems trying to print them out? Because obviously I can do the job. And now how are we printing this? Can I just remind you, it's 1994 by this stage. And I didn't have a colour printer that was going to print out those. So I can't remember what I did with them. I probably sent them off somewhere. Probably cost an absolute fortune, but I got back basically all the photos that we'd taken that day without the purple lines. And she sat there quite happily holding them. She wasn't one for digital photos, wasn't Mum? It had to be in an album. She preferably at 7x5. I did make her a book once of their last holiday. She said, you know, Dad's not too well. I'm going to take him on this last holiday. And I got her a digital camera. And she came back with it. Oh, she had the most amazing stuff. She had pictures of ducks. She'd done video. And I put them on an Apple TV for her. Still wasn't happy. Wanted them printed out. So I printed up. I made an Apple photo book when that was a thing. Obviously, they don't do those anymore. But I not only put the photos in, I actually put the whole story of the localities that they'd been to. So they'd been to, what's that station, Mike? The one in Brief Encounter. We went to it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we took Maya. He wasn't on it.
Carnforth.
Carnforth, that's right. Carnforth Station. It's a bit further north than us, but it's where they filmed Brief Encounter, and they basically turned it into a tourist attraction now. Mum and Dad had been there first, so they went on this holiday, and then it looked so fantastic. We took them back. They'd loved it so much. We took them back. And you had a camera back then as well. I think you just got your camera. So we took a lot more photographs. But it was wonderful. And there was the whole story of Brief Encounter behind it. So everywhere you went, there was plaques on the wall about the director, which was it David Lean that did that? From memory, I think it was. They had props from the set. There was all sorts there. So I took pictures of all these plaques and then I typed the words out and put it in the book. And then she had a book and she
great
was happy.
Great Expectations.
No, not Great Expectations. Brief Encounter.
Brief Encounter, yeah.
Was it him?
He was.
I thought it was. Because there was a plaque on the wall dedicated to him as well. And they had the luggage from the thing and they're just there. You can touch them. It was amazing. So it was a really good place to go. So, yeah, she loved her photos printed out, did Mum. And she was bereft. And I said, one day I will be able to fix that, but I can't do it at the moment. And that's because I had an Amiga and no scanner. I had a printer, but no scanner. But once I got my PC, I bought a scanner. It was slow. It was a parallel. It attached to the parallel port of a computer. And it was horrifically expensive. It was probably about £350, £400. But I thought, scanner. I've got to scan those photos. Obviously, you'd get far better quality these days. So luckily, I held on to all the ones with the purple lines on as well. But I did. I scanned the lot into my first PC with my, from recollection, somewhat dodgy version of Photoshop. I actually did have Photoshop, but it was some kind of cut down version. And it came with my PC. It was like Photoshop Lite, way before there was anything like that. I got my PC from a company called Time in the UK. And they used to make bundles. So you were buying the PC, but they would give you a lot of software thrown in. And that was one of them. And another one that came with it. So this is my very first PC in 1994. It actually had with it Serif Page Plus. And of course, Serif are very much still alive and well and now making Affinity. Was it Adobe Elements? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. There was no such thing as Adobe Elements back then. It was just this sort of... It might not even have been a cut-down version, but it actually said on it, like, you know, especially for Time. So they'd obviously got some deal going with Adobe. It was way before Elements was even a thing. But it was how I taught myself to do it. I did have Photon Paint for the Amiga, but it was a bit tricky. If you were around back then, obviously, Jonathan... No, not happening. Oh, actually, no, you probably were, weren't you? You'd probably been about, what, when I got my Amiga? You'd have been -1 when I got it, Jonathan, because I got it for my 21st birthday, which was 1988. But it's probably about a year later, and the image on the box was Tutankhamun. So that image you will still find kicking about on the internet, and it was one of the very first computers that did that level of graphics. It did more when I got my Amiga than you would ever have got a PC to do. But, you know, 6 years on, PC was where it was at, unfortunately, with software. So that was why I moved. That was the only reason that I moved. So Kim went to the worn-out castle where they filmed Hamlet with Mel Gibson. I would love to do that. I absolutely adore Scotland. And seeing things, I just like it peaceful. And it's peaceful there. It's not peaceful here, is it, Mike?
No.
It's fun.
I'm just going back through the chat.
Yes. What have you spotted?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Slotteries. It's reopened. Did you know?
No.
For deliveries, apparently.
Oh, I was going to say, I've just been to the website and it said it's closed.
Yeah. I read something last week and I'm sure it said for deliveries.
Well, that's Mike sorted then. Yeah. Do you know what, Mike? As soon as it's safe, I'm going to take you up there for a chocolate challenge.
That's my birthday sorted then.
If they're open by your birthday, well, but I very much doubt it.
Deliveries, I mean.
Do you think they'd deliver a chocolate challenge with the fireworks stuck in the top? The chocolate challenge was amazing. Come on, you can't leave Stuart as the only one that did it. You'd have to be much more scientific about this, Mike. Might be closed for the day. What day is your birthday? Is it Wednesday?
The 12th of August.
I know when it is. I asked what day it was.
I have no idea.
Oh, Mike. Let's find out.
It is a Wednesday.
Yeah, good guess by me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let that lie as a guess, Mike.
And I've got a webinar booked.
And he's booked a webinar. That's okay. You went to a continuing meeting on mine. In fact, you had a full house last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
Three meetings and three you went to. Excellent. They wouldn't dare close for the day, Paul. Not on Mike's birthday. They'd be major trouble if they did. Major trouble. That would be bad news. Yeah, it does say currently closed. I'm sure it does. Most of the stuff in the UK, you're spot on. Most of the stuff in the UK says closed. There's very little that isn't.
Due to recent announcements, other than our stay-at-home treats for local home delivery, we're temporarily closed.
Oh, that's not good. I can't see them being able to open, to be honest. I'm thinking about upstairs and what they could do. I mean, you couldn't really move many of the chairs, could you? The cafe part probably wouldn't be open. Maybe the shop part would be, but even then, it's in an old pub.
This is our last week of stay-at-home deliveries and collections. We need to focus on getting the shop ready for reopening and training our staff. We all have our fingers crossed that the shop reopens in the next couple of weeks. Mind you, even if it does, I wouldn't be going.
I think it'd be tricky. I mean, the car park's the size of a postage stamp to start with.
So yeah, you can't really socially distance, can you?
You can't socially distance when somebody's parked 2 inches from you, no. And didn't we count? Was it something like 18 cars? Which, when you see the size of this place, is ridiculous. The next nearest car park, I think, is like a 2-mile walk. It's actually quicker to go on the tram. You can get a tram straight from Brooklyn Station, which is about, what do you say, about a mile and a half walk from here. Yeah. You can get a straight through tram that takes you up to, which is the station?
Whitefield.
So you get off at Whitefield and then walk back, and it's probably about half a mile from there. So the last time we didn't even bother driving. Of course, the only problem, you know, with not driving is, can you possibly carry enough if you haven't got a car to make it worth the journey? Because they do things that are gluten-free, although not deliberately. They've actually got a sign on the wall that says we don't do gluten-free. But some things are inherently gluten-free. They do a lovely flapjack, which is oats, so that's gluten-free. So I have actually been able to buy some. And what's its gluten-free? Meringue. Oh, they do the most amazing strawberry meringues. I must not think about the strawberry meringues, Mike. I mustn't. But I want to actually take Mike up there to do the chocolate challenge again. So that won't do. That won't do. But I reckon they probably will be open within about probably a month. Don't you reckon, Mike?
Yeah.
I reckon they would. Because they need to. Otherwise, they're going to have to close down. It started off, this Slattery's, as like somebody baking in their kitchen. It was 1967. I know that because that's when I was born.
There you go. That's the story. I'll stick it a link
there. Yeah, put a link into it.
Yeah, I don't think they deliver to us.
No, they only literally deliver very local. But it's quite, so the population's quite dense up there, isn't it? So it's probably worth their while. We love going up to Bury, which is about 5 miles further on. They've got the most amazing market. It keeps winning market of the year. There's a food hall, which is just amazing. They do the most amazing sausages. So we do like going up there and stocking up when we do. What else is there up there that we like? We've actually got some tech from up there too. They have like stalls that are dedicated to phone cases and stuff. But, you know, on Amazon, you can look at a case and it'll be like £22. It's leather. And you get to the market and it's like £4.99. And it's the same case. And they're making a profit on it. Then you understand how Amazon are making such a profit. I also got some cables from up there. I needed, I had the need for a cable. I know what you're thinking. I've got more than enough cables. But this particular cable I needed a flexible cable. What I mean by flexible is when you've got like your iPhone cable, which is very thin, it should be flexible enough. It's kind of not. It sticks out at angles. It's not that flexible. But I did manage to get one cable and I needed it to be 6 foot long minimum and flexible because it was being dragged across the desk, and they actually had it. So I got that when I was up there as well. You got your iPhone case up there.
Yeah.
I did get one, didn't I? But mine was actually for my old phone. I wanted to get a new case for the old phone. The one I had was like some kind of fake, not even leather, very thin, but felt rubberish. And it had really, really gone tatty. So I said, well, I don't want a modern one. I'm looking for one for a six, an iPhone 6 Plus. And he said, oh, I've got some of those, and gets a box out. fantastic case. It looks like new to this day, and I think it was like $2.99. So I definitely love going up there. We should have a MacBytes meetup up there, I think. Obviously, there's the other place that we go, isn't there? Oh, what is that place called? It's got a weird name. It's the Greek place where we have breakfast. No, I can't remember the name. But obviously, that would do no good for Jonathan. I doubt it's kosher. It's Greek, but I doubt it's kosher. You could always have a boiled egg, Jonathan. Or, indeed, stock up on the flapjack.
It's hardly going to be kosher if it's bacon and eggs.
No. Not even if the Beth Din could be persuaded, is it? Berry but it is Market. Beautiful. It is beautiful.
Greek cafe, there you go. Katsouris.
That's the one, Katsouris, because it is with a K. So it's spelt K-A-T, etc.
As I started typing Greek, it came up. That's Google for you.
Well, the thing is, they call the breakfast, don't they? The big cat with a K. So there's a breakfast that's like everything. And then there's one that's a little bit lighter. And then there's the kitten breakfast, which is like for the kids. Jonathan's been there. Oh, wow. They do beautiful food. They really do. Check out the zoo. Let me have a look. Is this pandas? I do love pandas. Let me have a look. It's very meat heavy. It is. The breakfasts are to die for. They are. I think we've only ever had a breakfast there. I have looked at things like the salads. The trouble is they tend to put, when they do salads, they do tend to put a lot of bread with it. You know, it obviously fills out the plate and there's no point. I can't even, don't even put it on the plate. We always have the scrap over the toast because the breakfast comes with toast. So we say, like, we don't want the toast. So could we have X instead? And it's usually something like a black pudding. And he every time he argues, doesn't he, over what we can have.
He does.
And you can have half a mushroom. Like, wow.
Oh, look at the ice cream. If you're wondering why I've just reposted Paul's link, it's because I meant to post it into Google and I posted it into the chat.
Can't get the staff, what can I say? They look amazing, don't they? I'm going to have to visit. Oh, wow.
£10 for a salad.
Yeah, that's probably about the same price here, though, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I'd guess so. Oh, so that's a great design for that menu as well, isn't it? I love that. It looks like Wild
Westy. Rocky Road.
Don't show Mike Rocky Road. Do you know what they do have in America
that
we tend not to have here, Mike? Stuff, everything says like sandwich, a grilled sandwich, or something grilled sandwich. We tend not to have that. But yeah, we get burgers.
Why is fake chicken dinner in with the ice cream?
I have no idea. They've got some amazing sounding salads, though. A chopped stick chicken salad and a Napa Valley spinach salad. Oh, I'm going to have to be looking at some of these. And chopped cob. Oh, lettuce. Oh, romaine and iceberg lettuce with grilled chicken, avocado, blue cheese, bacon, egg, tomato, black olive, cheddar cheese and a choice of dressing. That's $13.60. But you know what, Mike? I'm quite liking the look of that one. I could have all of that. I could have all of that one, Mike.
I like the starters.
Oh, let me have a look at the starters. Where are they? Shareable starters, but you're having one for yourself.
Is it in Ohio?
Oh, I want you to see that one at the top, Mike. Old-fashioned onion mountain. Sweet Spanish onions.
This is on the way back machine. Do we know whether the menu's still the same?
I don't know, but I'm liking it anyway. That old-fashioned onion mountain. Many, many years ago, my mum and dad hadn't been to TGI Fridays, but we had. So we goes away for the weekend and there was a TGI Fridays nearby. So we said, we'll take mum and dad. Mum was incredibly sensible. My father, less so. We said to him, be careful with the starters. They can be quite big. And you know, obviously the main course is as big as well. No, I'm going to have that onion. And it was a battered onion. I can't remember if it had a name, but it was
onion badgie, wasn't it?
Was it onion badgie?
It was a huge. Yeah.
It was like a football. It was massive. It was served on a plate that must have been easy 16 inches across, and it filled it. Well, it arrived. He took one look, and Mum went, "I told you so." She said, "You have ordered that, and you are going to eat it." basically, if it took him till breakfast, he was going to finish it. Tell you what, he never ordered another one, did he? We said, you know, maybe we should share a starter. Dad, no, I could hold my beer. I'm going to eat it. And Mum made him eat it. Eyes bigger than stomach, my poor father. Certainly without starter. Thing was, we'd seen this starter being served and we'd both said, you'd need five people to eat that. But he was convinced he could manage it and he didn't. Oh, these are amazing, though. I'm going to keep that because I want that salad. I want Mike to make one of those chopped cob salads. It's a PDF, isn't it? So I should be able to save that. Thank you very much for that, Paul. Absolutely. I'm going to have that on our menu. You're listening, Mike. You've been told. Yeah. Been warned.
Been warned.
Been warned. Oh, it's trying to download something weird. I shall have to orchestrate how I can get that PDF. I'm liking the shakes and sodas as well. I've never seen soda on a UK menu. I've seen milkshakes, but never sodas.
If you Google Farrell's USA, a Facebook page comes up. It seems to be like an ice cream parlour. Yeah.
Ah, now we do have those, yeah. But they tend to be in Blackpool, don't they?
Which Paul's just posted a link to on Wikipedia.
I don't think I've ever actually had a salad like that, Kim. We went over here. It's like
closed last year.
It's like an afterthought, the salad, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
You have all the other food on the menu and then it's like, oh, we best put a salad on. And the salads are not actually that thrilling. Sometimes you will get a place like, there's a place locally called the Castle in the Air. And I think that's a Wetherspoons, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's the same as the one in the Trafford Centre, which is the Mardi Gras. And obviously Wetherspoons, not going, boycotting. But this one, my mum used to love. You went into it and it had like big air balloons in the place. She loved the decor. She absolutely loved it. So we used to take her there. Now, they had a dedicated salads menu, but I've never seen a Cobb salad on it. There's been a Waldorf salad. I don't know what the name was, but basically it was just plain salad, nothing else with it, no cheese, no meat, nothing, but they put croutons on it. So basically it was salad and a round of bread cut up into pieces. That was it. So these are much nicer salads. I'm going to investigate all of those. We have salad pretty much every day for lunch. Except today, but today was slightly different. What we do is, if it's a day where we've got shows or it's the weekend, we tend to have our main meal as like a lunchy, brunchy, breakfasty thing, about two-ish, and then just nibble things later. We wouldn't eat another big meal. But during the week, Mike's up so early that we have a lunch and then we have a dinner. Right, look at the one
item with the giraffe.
The giraffe, let me find the giraffe.
There it is.
Cones and cups.
Oh,
we've only just started over here getting cones or cups of ice cream. Before that, it would have been a cone.
Serves 1 to 10, every creation except the keeper. So huge it takes two strong servers to deliver it to your table.
Look at the price.
When I saw the word servers, I didn't think of people serving.
No, you thought computers and wheels, didn't you?
Yeah, in the same way.
You bad boy.
In the same way when we played Apache by the Shadows last night, I thought of Apache servers. Is that sad of me?
Yes, but I love you to pieces for it.
Thank you.
15 people, $79.99. Additional servings, $5.99 a person. Yeah, they could just drop the 15-person one off here, though, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They might keep us going for a week.
Yeah.
Probably less with Lola. She's very good, actually. She doesn't beg for our food. She just hangs around waiting for something better of her own. Mayor would be like, get out of my way, and he'd be helping himself off the plate. So let's have a look. Oh, now allergic to rye. Oh, that's not good. I don't have anything like that. I used to. You know when Simon does his baking?
Bread, yeah.
When he did those baguettes. Oh, gluten-free baguette. I'm desperate now for a gluten-free baguette. One day. I actually settled for a half-size one. But it was when he had that special thing that put the dots on the underneath. I'm loving that because that was my favourite part. Never mind the top. We'd get one and I'd say to Mum, can I have the bottom? She'd have two bits off the top and I'd have two bits off the bottom. I just loved it. I'm strange, what can I say? So Kim says she had salad and an egg salad sandwich for lunch. Ah. You've seen people eat the zoo before. That is actually amazing. I've never seen anything like that. I just love the menu as well. I think the style's fantastic. I'm going to read the print off that menu. Look at that one, a Mount St. Helens. What's that? A lava float of streamy hot fudge covers vanilla chocolate and strawberry ice cream plus hot caramel. Okay, I'm on my way. Served with whipped cream, nuts and cherry. No, hold the nuts, hold the cherry. Just give me the whipped cream. The pig's trough, that's fantastic. I think we should start making some of these, Mike, and doing a little video of them.
Yeah.
We've got a post on the Matt Bites website that's the recipe for Mike's Magic Bites flapjack. That one. But we didn't do a video. We need to do a video. I want a gimbal. You know, something that holds the Matt iPhone
Bites,
steady.
If you Google Matt Bites flapjack, Mike's Mac Bites magic gluten-free flapjack comes off.
I just made that more difficult by putting magic before Mike. He can't say it. I love cashew nuts.
There we go.
I actually like peanuts, but cashew nuts are my favourite. But not with ice cream. Not on an ice cream. No. Pistachio. You had pistachio, didn't you? I know where we got that.
At my mum's.
Yes. Because this is so funny. Whenever Mike's mum puts something out to eat, right? It's like, I don't like that. Never mind, just eat it. So she got out some ice cream and she says, a friend has made this ice cream. She's got an ice cream maker and she makes this ice cream. So she brings it in and I'm thinking, oh, vanilla, it'll be fine. And she said, it's pistachio and something.
I can't remember.
So it was pistachio and something else. And I'm like, I can't eat nuts in ice cream. That's criminal. And Mike just went, just eat it. I went, right, I'll just eat it. This is what we're like. Don't offend him. Don't offend Mike's mum. So I'm looking at this ice cream from every angle, thinking, how on earth can I get the nuts out of it? And I thought, just take a bite and be done with it. It was gorgeous. It was the nicest ice cream I've ever eaten.
If you read that blog post,
yes,
on Matt Bice's website,
yes,
about the flapjack, it starts and says, since announcing, this is in 2011, since announcing that Saturday is flapjack making day at Matt Bice's headquarters.
Is it?
Is it?
Oh, wow. Mike, it's Sunday. We've missed this week. We haven't got the ingredients, have we?
We have. Oh, no, we haven't. No. We haven't. We've got sultanas.
Yep.
We've got
They were porridge. Optional. We've got porridge.
We've
right.
got golden syrup.
Have we? Ooh.
Yeah.
What haven't we got? Brown
we've
sugar.
We've got butter. We haven't got brown sugar. We could do
Would you settle for brown food colouring and white sugar? Would that work? No, it's demerara sugar, isn't it? It's a different type of sugar. Darn it. Right, that's going on a posting now, Mike. I'm going to head off later. Try and get some brown sugar and then we can do a video of it. You've already arranged next week, I noticed. And as I was perusing my calendar, Mike has got a delivery next Saturday at 9 o'clock and the Saturday after at 9 o'clock. Is it like, oh, there's a show on, that's the only delivery slot available?
It seems to be.
Nobody wants 9 o'clock on
Kim's
a Saturday
Kim's made
Saturday
peanut
night.
Butter cookies. During our show yesterday.
Ooh. I'm not really big on peanut butter, but you know what, Mike? I'm not actually sure I've ever eaten it. You know, with my mother, you won't eat that.
Yeah.
You won't like that, she'd say. And there, that's it. So I don't eat that.
I had some yesterday on a crumpet.
Do they have
crumpets in the States?
Peanut butter doesn't actually appeal to me. It doesn't appeal. Maybe I wouldn't like it. And I'm not sure. But the cookie part of that sounds amazing. Carolyn found this fantastic thing. Carolyn, you know, from the Moore family, the Moore clan. Carolyn found this most amazing rolling pin. And it was for rolling out cookie dough. And it had embossed on the rolling pin cats and kittens and paw prints. And there was a picture of, like, using it, and you could see that the cookies that were made had, like, cat prints and cats on them. It was fabulous. We said, you've got to get one, because she's been doing nothing but baking. May used to eat peanut butter, didn't he?
I think so.
I think he had it
that,
off
that
of you.
That link is for Kim and Paul. Because I've just been talking about crumpets.
Are they the same as pancakes?
And they don't have crumpets in the US.
No! A crumpet is not a pancake. No. Crumpets are actually quite difficult to explain, aren't they? They're like...
That's why there's a picture in that link I've sent.
Yeah, they're like aerated pancakes. Seriously. It's a weird, weird, weird thing. Oh, good grief. Look at that picture, Mike. Look at that dessert. Oh, wow. Paul's just posted in. That's what one of the desserts looks like. Oh, my word. I tell you what we do have here, and we've never been, and obviously it's shut at the moment. There is actually a restaurant locally, and they don't serve food. They serve dessert. They only serve desserts. But apparently they are the most amazing desserts.
Is that word association, Johnny?
What?
That's it. I'm taking crumpets out the freezer. Yeah, I did the same.
The chunky one's too chunky. It's from the zoo from Farrell's. Oh, wow.
We do have English muffins. Yeah.
We do.
Why does it say page not found?
I'm trying to find the restaurant in Altrium that only do desserts. I thought it was an ice cream. Let's try ice cream restaurant. Could have a McBites meet up there, Johnny. Ice cream dessert. At the ice cream parlour, is that what it's called?
I think it could be.
No, that's the other side of Dunham.
Oh.
It's near the station, isn't it? It's behind the station. Next to... It's not the Dunham Massey ice cream farm, that's for sure. I'm going to have to find it on a map. That's no good. I know exactly where it is, but I don't know what it's called. It's near the station, behind Tesco's, and... it is Sainsbury's.
Look at that dessert.
That's the one I'm looking at, Mike. Yeah. I've already keeled over just looking at it.
Yeah, there's but it Tesco. Is to share.
Yeah, yeah, it is to share. View cinemas. Got the cinemas. Right, somewhere near there.
And I think it's an optical illusion. It's probably not as big as it looks.
Don't make the same mistake my father did, Mike. Don't go there. Kath went. I'm going to have to ask her where it is and what it's called because it's not on this map. I've got everywhere else on this map, including Toast. That place we went with your mum and dad.
Yeah, those are pancakes. We have those. We have a freezer full of gluten-free pancakes.
We do.
Look exactly like those.
And they're gorgeous with strawberry jam. What can I say? Right, let me have a look at that. Yes, they are pancakes. They actually do look very like our gluten-free pancakes. But a crumpet's, it doesn't taste the same. It's the air in it and how, I mean, don't you put butter on it, don't you? And jam?
Oh, peanut butter.
Peanut butter. I don't. I just put a little bit of butter on the top. But they're just gorgeous.
What I do with peanut butter is just take a spoon or a knife and just eat it directly out the jar.
I know you do.
I bet I'm not the only one.
I'm sure
I
you're not.
I bet Johnny does.
I think Kim's got far more restraint than that. Unlike you. I can't find that thing, and I'm sure it was behind there. But as Paul's saying, it's so weird when you look at a map now, when you think you know where something is, and everything just says closed, closed, closed. No, it's if it's where I think it is, and I'm sure it is because I've seen it. I can't see it right now, so I'm going to have to ask Kath. I will put that on there as well, Kath ice cream, and find out where it is. Because if I can't find it, I can't find the menu. What's it called? Is it you're cheating? You're not actually looking at a map, you're cheating.
Fireworks, ice cream and desserts.
That sounds like it. What's it called?
Fireworks, ice creams and desserts.
Fireworks. Ice creams. And desserts.
The restaurant has taken over what was a vacant unit next door to the View Cinema.
I knew it was next to the cinema, that's what I'm
saying.
Which was
previously occupied by Mexican chain Chiquito.
Is it the little dessert shop? No, because that's
well,
what's
this one's
for
called Fireworks, Ice Cream and Dessert.
Well, it's zoomed out, and but there's no pin.
Oh.
Oh, I'm swindled. See you tomorrow, Paul. Well, with all of this food talk, I'm going to need something to eat, Mike. What are you going to tempt me with?
We're going to get something to eat.
Well, I know we've got ice cream, so we could have ice cream.
Yeah.
Might need to put it with something incredibly indulgent, though, I'm thinking. It being the end of my birthday week, just saying. Which started over a week ago, but I'm going to have to draw a line under it now, aren't I, before it's somebody else's birthday. Now, see, Kim's refined. She uses a spoon. Not a knife, Mike. At least get a spoon.
Okay.
I do actually have one piece of birthday cake left, Kim, from the one that Caroline baked me. So, yeah, I think I will have that to finish it off. But I might have some ice cream. Getting excited now. Oh, what a fabulous night. Thank you very much for being with us. We're going into week 11 tomorrow. But Kim is going into week 13 tomorrow. But we've actually managed 70 consecutive shows. Jonathan must be amazed. I wonder at what point there'll be a crossover, Jonathan. We'll have to have crossover day. Mike can work out crossover day, can't you?
Yeah.
We'll work out crossover day and tell you tomorrow. Crossover day. And, of course, there would be a MacBytes crossover day. But we've got a piece of data missing on that one, which is how many MacBytes. Because, like, you can predict After Hours and you can predict Marooned. Would it ruin it for you, Jonathan, if you could predict MacBytes? There's a serious question. Wouldn't it just ruin the surprise? Yes, 11 weeks. That's scary, actually, isn't it? Yeah, fifth of the year. Wow. And I can see another 11 weeks, seriously. When would that take us to? 3 months, so end of June, July, August. I can definitely see another 12 weeks, but we'll see how it all goes. But we will be entertaining you while we're in lockdown. So, Jonathan, it actually works in your favour, I'll say. Well, let's go off and have something to eat, Mike.
Good plan.
Right, so it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.